Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Mass migration to the eastern seaboard of the island represents an existential threat to the GAA, according to the National Demographics Committee Chairman Benny Hurl. Nominative of determinism, if ever there was one. Mr. Hurl painted a very concerning picture at the launch of the GAA's report on this issue. 78% of GAA clubs are located in areas with what are described as declining populations. What does it mean for the future of our national sports? We will speak in just a minute with Jamesy O'Connor, former All-Ireland winner with Clare. But first, former GAA President Nicky Brennan, man from Kilkenny. Good evening to you, Nicky.
Good evening, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. This is worrying, though, isn't it? Because without the GAA, and I know this is a GAA man talking to another GAA man, we just won't have community. They're the pivotal point, the central, the centrifuge around which a lot of our communities turn.
Well, I suppose Irish life has been made up of communities now for, you know, since God knows how many centuries and that. And within our communities now, there's a lot of change. There's big changes within the church. We don't have post offices anymore. The rural pubs are significantly in decline and such like. So the one area that has been batting itself and keeping communities going has been the GAA. Now, they're not on their own. There are other clubs as well, and I don't want to say anything against them because they're doing wonderful work as well. But certainly this report, which I welcome, and the chair of it, Benny Hurdle, is somebody in the GAA who has been talking about this topic for a long time. And he's got a good group of people together, and I welcome this report very much. It lays out some stark findings, I suppose none of it which is entirely shocking, but at the same time, there's quite a number of some specific statistics in there, and which are, no doubt about it, are setting alarm bells ringing and shows a scale of what the GAA as an association has to do and the people it needs to work with, particularly government, to see how it can help those situations.
They're looking at one example that was given in the report is Kerry, South Kerry in particular, where Jack O'Connor is from. 83 children enrolled in junior infants across 13 primary schools in the area last September. You're going to struggle to put teams together like that. But how the GAA has always managed this is they amalgamate clubs. The clubs come together and they form a different unit. You might have children from a couple of parishes, but has it not always been thus that there have been ebbs and flows?
Well, probably only in probably the last maybe decade or so. Now, there's always been a certain level of it, of course. But we all know that through the decades with emigration, particularly from the west of Ireland to America and such like, it has caused an awful lot of problems for clubs fielding teams. But they've managed to keep it going. But it's now becoming a real difficult problem. And you have particularly at underage. The club at adult level can survive maybe that little bit longer. But at underage, getting teams out under an individual club banner is very, very difficult. Now, clubs often have to travel many miles to join neighbouring clubs to form a team at underage level, and that's becoming very difficult. Now, the report talks about being able to play in championships below 15 a side at different grades. That's been explored, and I'd welcome that as well, because clubs want to retain their identity, and even if they only play with 9 a side in a competition, it keeps their identity. Now, that's not going to last forever, to be honest about it.
Yeah.
We're looking at significant change in the structure of GAA clubs, and I'm glad that the report identifies that as something that needs to be explored.
Well, I know that in some divisions you can play with 13, but if you're 15, you can play them. So there's already a bit of ebb and flow there. But James O'Connor, if I can go to you, we talked about Kerry. This presumably is the same in County Clare, and the further west you go, the more of a challenge it becomes.
I think so, Jonathan. Yeah, I think that's you go right up the western seaboard from as you say, rural Cork, South Kerry, up to Donegal, and I suppose West Clare, is the football part of Clare, and it's certainly become a major issue there. I mean, Kilrush, Kilkee, Curraclare would be, three of the traditional, I suppose, powerhouses in Clare, You know, football, they're struggling, you know, for numbers. They're playing intermediate. And other clubs, you know, Doombeg, you know, they're acutely aware of it. I mean, they're looking at, you know, their underage teams. They're struggling to put 15 players on the field. If a family goes on holidays or they've one or two injuries, they're struggling to field. And, you know, one of the teachers here from Doombeg was involved with an under 20 amalgamation with Kilkee, O'Curry's, Navone. Well, that's an area of ground, he said, that's 35 kilometres long. It goes right back to Loophead, 20 kilometres wide, and there was only one player actually on the gate. So, you know, certainly a problem facing every county. But as you said, the further west you go, probably the further you go from the big population centres, you know, on the west coast, the more acute the problem becomes.
But I thought that, Jamesy, we were moving to an era where people, if they wanted to live and work in West Clare, they can do it remotely. And we had people leaving the East Coast to go back to the West Coast. Have we given up on that idea now, do you think? And I suppose, are the demographics putting lie to the myth?
Yeah, and obviously the data doesn't lie. But, I mean, look at, Jonathan, this is a very, very complex problem that's going to probably require complex and creative solutions. But certainly, I mean, planning permission is probably an issue in rural parts of the country. And I suppose, you know, certainly places like Lahinch, Liscannor, property prices have become, you know, sky high, and maybe ordinary local people simply can't afford to buy the houses with the sea view, whatever. So it's, as I said, this isn't a straightforward, you know, problem. This is, I suppose, societal. It's complex, and the GA, I suppose, is not something that you know, this didn't arise today or yesterday. It's something that's been coming down the track, but certainly the data presents a pretty frightening and pretty scary picture of what the future could look like. And it's good, I think, and as Nikki said, that, you know, it's welcome that, you know, they're addressing it now, and at least it's out there and we're talking about it.
And we'll come back to how they could possibly fix it in a minute, particularly in the place where you're from. But Nikki Brennan, the other side of this that is, it's quite interesting, is the clubs in the city that have become unwieldy and too big. I mean, I know of one club in the city where they could have as many as 300 players on the age, and they don't have a head coach. They have a coach who manages the coaches. And that just goes to show the imbalance here, that you can have some clubs with too many children and some clubs with not enough at all.
That's a real challenge. You're quite right. And in the large urban areas, the notion of starting a new club, Jonathan, is very difficult, because to start a new club, you need a playing facility. And trying to get land in an urban area at the moment where there's such a demand for housing is a real, real challenge. So our bigger clubs, I don't know, it's going to be very difficult. In some maybe areas outside of Dublin, maybe that can be done. I mean, I was listening to John Fenton talking about it with Marty Morrissey the other day. He accepted, for example, that the growth in Middleton would demand that another club be formed between themselves, I think, in Carrigtwohill and that. Now, that's a club chairman who's been very practical and sensible and sees the way forward there. But it's a very emotive issue, talking about clubs, allowing other clubs in their broad catchment area to be set up if that's practical and they can get access to a pitch. But I think the report does talk about the need to understand how clubs are developed in the future, in that perhaps parents who live in urban areas, they can get more freely their children out to play with the rural clubs from which they came from, and things like that. So the movement of players, as we've seen it in the past, was restricted under various rules. Now, I'm still a believer in the parish rule in principle, but at the same time, it shouldn't deprive people within the urban area where there's minimal opportunities maybe for the less talented hurler or Gaelic football player to play, that they get the opportunity to go elsewhere where their presence could very well be the result of a team and a club surviving.
I don't like you calling out my abilities like that on air, Nikki, but you're right. There are people who are less talented who could easily move out and play a junior C somewhere. Jamesy, how do we fix this? How do you make sure that there are young people in West Clare who might have an eye on Lifton Liam McCarthy someday, or even if they wanted to really put Clare on the map in terms of football? How do we capture them? How do we prevent them from leaving?
Oh, Jonathan, I'd love to have the answer to that question. Look, it's multifaceted. It requires, obviously, conversation between the GA, between local authorities, between, you know, various state organisations and bodies. it's a really, really, as I said, complex problem that's going to require creative solutions. But just to go back to the point, I mean, my club is on the edge of Ennis. Look, we're in a population growth area. We're facing the challenge of dealing with increasing numbers. So the urban clubs have a different set of challenges to some of the rural clubs. And that requires, again, a complex set of solutions. And it's not easy dealing with, as you said, like the 300 under nines or under eights or under sevens, and trying to accommodate all them with the challenges around facilities and simply not being able to afford to buy land and so on. So look, we could spend an hour talking about this, Jonathan, and I certainly don't have all the answers. But I think we have people in the organization, as I said, that are well equipped to look at this and hopefully come up with some of those solutions going forward. Mm.
Nicky, there's a text here that I'll put to you. Why do rural communities need the GAA, asks the texter. Have they never heard of soccer and hockey where you don't need as many players? Are we focusing too much on the GAA because they were the ones who produced this report? Or is it every sporting organisation who's going to see this issue?
This report, Nicky? But I alluded at the very start. Can you hear me there now? I alluded at the start to the fact that we're talking about, of course, all organisations, but specifically the GAA because this report was produced. But within our area in Kilkenny, there's plenty of soccer clubs who do a lot of great work. But their connection with the area can sometimes be not as strong as the GAA because the players come from wider catchment areas. Within the GAA in general, you're talking about parochial and parish areas and district areas. And that's why that particular angle of the GAA is quite unique, not just in Irish sport, but in global sport from that perspective. And within GAA communities and within the parishes in which they operate, they're more than just a sporting organisation. Just as an example, if there's a big funeral in an area, often it's the GAA club will do the stewarding and will do other sorts of things. If there's other events needing to take place, it's often the GAA club members will come to the assistance of the local community. So it's more, community doesn't just mean about playing games. It means about supporting neighbour and neighbour as you will need to at any particular point in time, particularly in their hour of need. And that's why it's important for the government to realise that the social capital which is delivered from the GAA in the countrywide is very significant and shouldn't disappear without a real battle.
Nicky Brennan, former GAA president, James O'Connor, former All-Ireland winner. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining us. We've had this conversation before. In the 80s, there was the flight of young people from this island that really took a generation to recover from. And the GAA was under pressure back then, as were the soccer clubs, as were the hockey clubs, as were everybody else, because the people who played the game disappeared. The same happened in 07, 08, 09, when another generation left because of economic malaise. What is different about this is, despite the number of houses that are in these areas, despite the number of people who are living in these areas, they're not having kids. And if they're not having kids, those kids are perhaps leaving very soon and heading to Dublin or heading to wherever the case, where the work is. And that is why the GAA is calling this out. And it is a significant problem that isn't easily fixed. Another thing, says this listener, no team picks a player who's under 6 foot, but rules me out, meaning that the tallest play senior intercounty. We need an under 6 foot adult league, says Jax. The short arse league. Yeah, I'm there. I've signed up.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.